Coming up, a conversation with Ms. Vicki Tonkins, Republican candidate for El Paso County Commissioner District 5 vacancy, on making democracy work.
You're listening to Studio 8 and 9 Podcasts, the cure for common apathy and indifference. Reported side effects include a sense of being informed and engaged. Ask your doctor if Studio 809 is right for you.
Welcome to Making Democracy Work. I'm your host, Shelley Roars, spokesperson for the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak region. Thank you for listening to Making Democracy Work, coming to you from the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs. And thank you for taking the time to learn more about being an active and engaged citizen. We are a nonpartisan grassroots organization focusing on voter education and outreach, good government, and citizen education. Today's conversation falls under voter education. We invited both candidates running for County Commissioner District 5 on the upcoming ballot to be interviewed here on our podcast and to avoid any bias or partisanship. Our questions are similar for both candidates, so let's get to it. Today, we welcome Vicki Tonkins, who is running as a Republican for El Paso County Commissioner District 5 vacancy. Thank you for being here, Vicki.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Shelley. I appreciate it.
So first off, tell our listeners, introduce yourself and why you're running for this position, please.
Well, my name is Vicki Tonkins. I have actually run for this position before, but I have realized that I'm not seeing what I think we should be seeing on our county commissioner board. And so I decided to jump in the race again. We had a vacancy for this position and went through the vacancy process. And now we have to go through another election. And then we'll go through another election next year, which is so frustrating. But anyway, that's how it is. And I just feel like the people are not being represented the way they should be. I know that the county commissioners have meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays during the day. And I work a job, you know, so most of our constituents do, which makes it difficult for them to participate. I think we need to make it as easy as possible for every citizen to be able to participate and know what is going on in their county. That's why I'm running.
So tell us then, since you're running and you obviously have an opponent in this race, what sets you apart from that person, from your opponent?
Well, I think I have way more experience. I'm just a little bit older. You know, life teaches you a lot. And so I was also the GOP chair for 6 years, three terms here in El Paso County. And I think I have a good pulse of what is happening in our county, whereas I don't feel like my opponent does. That's not to say anything negative. It's just I have a little more experience in this arena. And so I think I can bring a lot to the table because I have an education background. I have a business background where I have owned my own business. I have just life, you know, a life that I can bring a little different perspective, I believe, because one of the things in my background as far as education is I taught on the college level and I taught critical thinking and I taught anywhere from 18. I think my oldest student was 65. What it really means to critically think, because it can be difficult, because it's hard for us as individuals. We have our own thoughts, we have our own ideas, and it's hard sometimes to be able to say, okay, well, this is not my thought or my idea, but let me look at that, and maybe I can glean from something from that. And so I think it's good to be able to have that kind of perspective when you're sitting at that dais trying to hear whether it's a complaint or looking at a budget or something like that, and being able to look at that and go, oh, I haven't thought of that. Let me rethink. I think that's very important, and I can bring that to the table.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, so talk about your highest priorities. Obviously, that's kind of one of the biggest questions of someone running for this office. What are the highest priorities for our community?
And that's difficult, especially being a county position, because there's so many things that we have to do, budgets. One of the things that disturbs me a great deal is, I don't know if you've ever looked at your tag bill. fee.
My license tag.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
I'm going, why are there so right. many fees? So I really want to look at that as far as in the budget and say, can we cut some of this? Because I looked at mine and it looks like there's a fee for the same thing three times. Check it out, folks. Check it out, because I was not happy with that. And that is a budget issue here in El Paso County. And that needs to be looked at. I'm getting one of the things that I've heard people say, I'm tired of people in the government taking money out of my pocket. I'm having to work too many jobs to just make ends meet. Why are our taxes still going up? We're getting more people. I mean, we average 60,000 new people in El Paso County, just El Paso County. Every year. Why are our taxes still going up? When you have that many people coming in, is that not taking care of a little bit of that revenue? That's one of my priorities. Let's look at that budget and see where we can trim the fat.
Okay. So assume you win. Yes, ma'am. So choose one of those issues that you would prioritize in the coming term, name it, and describe what you want to do to accomplish that.
Just like I said, I think a lot of it is budget for me, because I think the government oversteps a little bit too much when it comes to finance. And I worked for the city of Hickory, North Carolina, where I'm from.
Nice.
And I was in the business development office. And so we brought in new business, to bring in new revenue for the city.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm a little bit aware of what that looks like and how it should look like. And so I'm concerned that we are not looking into detail about our budget. I mean, we have the sheriff's office, we have the clerk and recorder's office. There's just two of those things that we have to do, the budgets that we have to look at. And I think sometimes when a different group brings in a budget and says, this is what we want, this is what we need, we're going, oh, okay, instead of really looking at that and said, well, do we really need three fees for that one thing? So that's something I really, really think is important, because you can't be good to the citizens if you're always on their back for more money.
Okay.
And so I think that's very important.
Yes, ma'am. And with two children born in South Carolina, it's Hickory, North Carolina, for those. It is definitely, I know that space very
that's
well.
Awesome.
So yes, ma'am. All right. So our questions are taken straight from the tabs of the county website.
Okay.
So there are different categories of the tabs of services that the county provides. So
Right. Basically
you as a commissioner are kind of in charge of all of those, if I see the umbrella organization. So we've divided them into different categories.
Okay.
First one is property and land. And of course, we had the huge special issue with the city of the Carmen Line annexation over the summer.
Ma'am.
So there's a lot of, back and forth between city and county there.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you about developers in this instance, okay? So how will you ensure that developers don't get to dictate growth? Because in this instance, I think the city felt that they were really dictating the growth there.
Yes.
In the county, at the expense of the existing residents, especially given our limited water supply, because I did a little bit more research on the county water supply as well.
Yes,
ma'am. So what does that look like for you in ensuring that developers don't dictate that growth at the expense of our residents?
Well, here's the thing. I believe development is fine when it's done properly. And it's just like you said, we have to look at so many issues here. We are a landlocked area. Mm-hmm. It's not like we have an ocean, that we can grab some water from. And I know when you were talking about Carmen Line, the Arkansas water people, they're like, wait, hold on. This is going to affect us too. And so I think it's really important, before the county commissioners make any type of decision, you have got to look at all sides, like I said earlier, and see, is this really going to be a benefit or a detriment? And so speaking of Carmen Line, I mean, come on, you're right there by the base.
Yes, ma'am.
We do not need that encroachment. That was a poor, the people did right. 82% said, no way, no how, stop it. But I'm not sure if you know that another organization on the other side of Schriever wants to put in over 5,000
That's right.
houses. That's not counting other businesses or restaurants or whatnot.
Right.
Pretty much the same thing. And the county commissioners, 4-1, said, sure, go ahead and start that process of looking into it. I am not happy about that. Because if Carmen Line, which is on the other side, was voted down 82%, why would you bring up something else to the people in the same area causing the same problems and say, oh, go ahead and look into that, draw out some plans and show it to us? That is not good. That is not good development, not in that area. And so I think development needs to be wise. It needs to be very considerate of what is actually happening in that area. And above all, what are the people saying?
I was going to say, do you think the voters should be able to vote on that? Since that's been out there in the county, should the voters be able to vote on that?
Well, to be honest with you, that never should have been brought before the commissioners, because the one had already been voted down. It's not different. It's the same size, same situation, same issues.
But one is city and one is county.
Yes, but still, look, as a county commissioner or any person who's in leadership, you have to look at everything. That's hard. It is very hard. But you don't have to rush it. Take some time to think about how it's going to affect. And I'm sorry, that never should have come forward. And do you know how much it costs to do that Carmen Line vote?
Yes, ma'am.
Over $500,000.
There's not special issue
elections.
For
one item.
Yes, ma'am.
That should never be. That was such a, I'm going to say it.
Yes, ma'am.
That was a waste of money. And I'm not happy about it, because that was my tax dollars and your tax dollars. And that should not have happened.
Okay.
And when you say, should we have another vote? So we're going to do another $500,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I do not disagree with you at all, but I do believe in the vote of the people.
And absolutely.
If the people disagree with something, I think they should 100% exercise that right, which is what Carmen Line people did, right? That's the voters.
Yes.
That was a 100% a voter petition. But
it was. But here's something that,
yes,
we,
ma'am,
can think about.
Sure.
So why not put that on the ballot with other things so that the cost will be more effective? That's all I'm saying.
That's a time.
Yes, bring,
yes,
it to the people.
Yes, ma'am.
But why don't we do it when it's with other things on the ballot, so that cost is a one time instead of multiple times, right, for the same thing?
Yes, ma'am. A lot more efficient.
Yes, a lot more efficient.
Okay, so another tab on the county site, services and resources.
Yes.
When I looked at this one, it did refer a lot of outside organizations, right? So I guess in this instance, it wasn't necessarily services and resources that the county were providing. So it was more, hey, if this is you, this is where you should go. Whether,
okay,
that was housing or food insecurity or whatever that looked like for the person who was looking at this tab. So I guess I is there anything that we can do in this instance right here for services and resources, steps that we can take that would improve county services, so residents don't really feel like necessarily that they're being referred somewhere else, but it instead received direct, effective help locally on that level?
Well, the problem is some services are just not a part of county commissioner. It's not part of the county. So it's going to be divided out. That's just the way the animal works. So some things are just not the county. I don't want to say problem, but it's not the county's duty to do. And that, so I think it's good to say, hey, we don't do that, but this is the place that you can go to get that assistance.
Okay.
All right. The things that we are to provide, of course, our sheriff's office, you know, so we should feel safe. And I don't know, I know I have been here since 1996, and I have seen a change in our area. And I think the last time I checked, we were like number two in car theft in the nation. I would have never thought when I moved here in 1996 that that would ever be an issue. Not Colorado Springs, not El Paso County. Mm-hmm. So I think those services need to be, I know people say, well, we need to increase and we need to, sometimes it's not an increase as much as it is efficiency. We have to be efficient with the monies that we have. I don't know about you, but I have to look at every dollar in my budget, in my household. And sometimes I think people in public service, people who are in public office, think, oh, well, that money's just going to always come in because of taxes or whatever. But you can't look at it like that. You have to look at it as like, this, if this were my money, how would I spend it more wisely? How would I spend it more conservatively? And that's what I think, even with the services that we are to provide with our sheriff's office, like I said, that's one of them, making sure our roads are in good shape. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of these potholes. So we have got to figure out what the problem is, because how many times have we been asked to, can we keep this tax dollar just a little bit longer so we can make sure we get this done? Well, what are you doing with what you got? Because I'm sorry, but I don't just get to pull money out of the air as an individual. And we can't have a mindset that the tax money is coming in, it's coming in, it's coming in, and we overspend. And that's what I'm going to always come back to the spending.
Okay. So. Well, you've mentioned two of the tabs that are kind of that are really highlighted on the county website, safety and law, and then roads and transportation. So let's talk about roads and transportation. Then what's your plan for maintaining and improving our county roads and transportation systems? Because that includes, you know, buses as well, particularly in our rural and underserved areas. Because sometimes, again, focus on middle of the city, District 5, that's your district, we forget way out there in Ellicott. You know, shame on us. But either way, I'm sorry. What's your plan for maintaining and improving our county roads?
Well, first of all, we're going to have to look at and see, are we wasting somewhere? Because with the revenue that's coming in, we should not have the potholes and the problems. We have great curbs. Our curbs are wonderful. But can we fix a pothole, please? I'm sorry if I'm sounding critical, but when you hit one of those potholes, I mean, I've had to spend over $1,500 on a vehicle because of one of those potholes. And how many other people have had that same experience? And that's not covered by the city, even though the city is supposed to maintain that pothole and make sure we don't have them. As far as transportation, that's something I'm going to have to look at. I have looked at that in the past. But I can tell you this, something that really bothers me, and it may not be an issue for anybody else. Maybe it's just Vicky's problem. I do not like the fact that I'm passing a bus and I see two people on a full bus. I mean, on a huge bus and there's two people. Why? What are we doing something wrong? I mean, because shouldn't the bus have more people than two? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at this differently. But again, I'm going to go back to efficiency. Is it being efficient to have this large bus go in an area where you're only going to have two people on that large bus? You're still spending the same gas. Can we, I don't know what the solution is. I'm not going to sit here and act like, oh yeah, I have a plan. I don't.
Okay.
Because I'm not the expert in that. But I know how to talk to the experts and find out, can we make this better? Can we make this more efficient? Can we help those people out in Ellicott? I don't know, but the conversation needs to be had.
Okay, very well. So another tab, safety and law, since that was one of the ones you mentioned. How do you propose to strengthen public safety to include the car thefts while also ensuring fairness, accountability, and community trust in law enforcement?
I think, and like I said, I see things a little different than most. So I know in my neighborhood, I could tell you what we have done. We have neighborhood watch.
Of course, yeah.
That's not like we're spying on everybody or anything like that. It's just we are aware of our neighbors. We are aware when they're out of town. We are aware of maybe if they need assistance with something. And we come together and we do that as our neighborhood. I think that's one of the greatest things, free resource that we can do in each neighborhood. That we look out for each other, that we have those meetings, that we have those block parties. We do that in my neighborhood. And I think it would be good to self-evaluate and go, hey, how can we protect ourselves better? How can I help my neighbor? I know Miss Sally is going to be out of town. I'm going to let Miss Sally know I'm going to watch out for her house. I think that's one of the things that we can do instead of totally relying on the police department or the sheriff's department who is lacking in resources. We know that. But we have to take our own safety into account and say, hey, what can I do as a good neighbor? So I think maybe we need to be fed up a little bit, maybe have more community awareness of, you know, guys, this is really simple to do this in your own neighborhood. Get to know your neighbor. Let's throw some hot dogs on the grill and get to know each other. That's right. We've done that in my neighborhood and I love it. I know who my neighbors are and we talk and we take care of each other.
Yes,
so I think that's one of those things that we could do.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm a neighborhood watch captain. It's not a Karen thing. It is a communication tool with your neighbors.
Oh, it's awesome.
It is awesome. So you're exactly right. It's one of the very first things that I did was to get to know my neighbors because we need more to 100% if somebody needs their cat watched or whatever, their plants watered, their trees watered. That's a new thing for me around here is watering my trees. I'm learning it all the time. But yes, yes, ma'am. So very well on that one. And then so going back to one of those other tabs, Family, Child, and Adult Services is that last tab on the county site. So how would you ensure that vulnerable children, families, and older adults receive timely and accessible support through our county programs?
Well, I know there's a lot of programs out there that help families, but I think it's like we've been talking. I think a lot of times people just don't know. They're not aware. Mm-hmm. How can we get the word out? Is there some type of community service advertising that we can do? Hey, this is your county commissioner's office, and we just want to let you know if you need some assistance with your family, an older person in your home, here's where you can go to get that assistance. That, to me, seems very simple to do. Am I looking at it wrong? I think it's kind of simple just to put out a community blast or however you want to do it, whether it's Facebook, you know, however, and let these people know this is available for you. This can assist you if you're struggling with this, if you're struggling with this thing over here, whether it's food or clothes or something like that. Here's where you can go to get that assistance. And I think it's all about just getting the word out. And I don't think we do that very well.
Okay. So this one is a little bit more on the league side. We are all about civic engagement and voting, obviously.
Absolutely.
Increased voter turnout, school board elections. This election is kind of a special election.
This
is usually the second lowest voter turnout election is this one coming up for us. In your instance, this is related to House Bill 25-13-19 and that special vacancy that has become because of the former elected official has stepped down, creating this vacancy on the ballot, which is also very special. There's a special nuance to this, meaning only Republican candidates can run, and only Republican candidates and unaffiliated voters are allowed to vote.
Correct.
So in this instance, somewhat disenfranchising voters, if I live in District 5 and I'm a Democratic voter, I am not allowed to vote in that election. For us, again, that's kind of disenfranchising voters. We're going to answer a lot of questions of why. I know we will. I've already answered a couple. I guess, so for us, do you agree that only candidates from one party should be allowed to run? And this is a government-run election. This is not a party-run election. This is our government running this election where we are literally saying certain people are not allowed to vote. Do you agree with this House bill? And if you do, why or why not?
I never did agree with that House bill. There was not a genuine reason. And I say this because in the bylaws, in the statute, there was already provision for that. So to make it something that is going to cost the citizenry to have to pay the bill for this special election, that's one of the reasons I do not agree with it. It was already in place in how to do a vacancy for the county commissioners. And they wanted to change it to make it more of a state-type election, which is what we're having. I don't like the idea simply because, well, let me go back. The reason it's just Republicans and unaffiliated is because that who held the position and is vacating the position early. That's how it is in state races as well. If someone is a Republican or a Democrat in that position, then that's who can vote in that election.
Because of these new bills.
Because of the new bills.
Right. Before it was just an appointment.
No, not an appointment. It was actually a vacancy election where the people that lived in that district who were Republicans and were the vacancy committee, they had that election. Didn't cost hardly a dime.
Right, but except voters paper. Didn't vote. Committees, the committee.
Correct.
And whether that was a Republican committee or a Democratic, depending upon which person stepped down and what their party background was.
Correct.
Yes, understood.
And I think it should have stayed that way because it doesn't cost anything because you can have that at your county headquarters, the Republican headquarters or the Democrat headquarters. Mm-hmm. And so the cost, you know, I'm always going to go back to the money.
Yes, ma'am.
The cost of it is so minimal in doing a vacancy committee versus a huge election, what we're having now.
Okay. So it sounds like your preference is specifically to kind of go back to the way it was.
Yes,
which
ma'am.
Was kind of the committee vacancy selects the person who is now the
yes,
elected
ma'am.
Official.
And Perfect. It is an election. It's not, oh, we appoint you. It is actually paper ballots, and the person does speeches just like they do any other election, and they get elected.
Yes, ma'am. Perfect. Okay. Well, that was basically all the questions I had. I hope I didn't put you on the hot seat too much.
You did not. You're very kind.
I do want to ask, is there anything that we didn't touch on today that you want to kind of say before we ask for a closing statement?
Well, I think the biggest thing is I just want people to be more engaged. I want people to know what is happening where they live. And I'm not going to put the onus on the constituents either. I think we do a poor job in our county of letting people know what is happening. So I put that on all the elected officials. We can't stay in our ivory towers and not go out to the people and say, hey, this is what is happening. What do you think? And I just don't think we do that enough. My name is Vicki Tonkins, and I am on the ballot. And you can reach me at www.vickitonkins.com. That's my website. If you have any questions, please send me the question. I will answer you. I will not ghost you, I promise. And I'm just asking for your vote. I really believe that I have the tools to really represent the people here in El Paso County. And I'm asking for your vote. That's Vicki Tonkins. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Ms. Tonkins, for being here today and taking time to let us get to know you a little bit more.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me come.
Yes, ma'am. We appreciate you answering and putting your name on the ballot. That is very hard and running for elected office. So it is not easy. So thank you for that as well.
I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. In addition to Vote 411 and interviews here on our Making Democracy podcast, the League is hosting candidate forums for voters to learn more about school board candidates running for office on your November 4th ballot. Check out our event calendar on the website lwvppr.org for a detailed list of scheduled candidate forums and our upcoming ballot issues form. Military ballots were to be mailed around September 20th, with the rest of the ballots mailed by October 10th. Your ballot must be returned by 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 4th. Remember, the League is here if you have any questions. Thank you again for listening today and for educating yourself before you vote. Until next time.